This is Rhema for today.
Now, you see, the man wasn't healed. Some people said, well, yeah, Paul was an apostle, though. And apostles had that kind of power. Paul didn't heal the man. The man wasn't healed because Paul was an apostle. The man was healed because he had faith. The Bible plainly said, read the latter part of the 9th verse, he had faith to be healed. Now, where did he get faith to be healed? From what he heard. He said, the same heard Paul speak. What did he hear? And there they preached the gospel. So then Paul must have not only preached that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, he must have also preached that himself took our infirmities and by our sicknesses, and that man believed it. Glory to God.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, The ABCs of Bible Faith, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Well, what about faith for healing? Well, we talked about how faith comes for healing, just like it does for salvation, by hearing the Word of God. We know God initiates some things on His own. You know, the same thing's true over in the realm of salvation. Did you ever stop to think about it? You read the 9th chapter of Acts. Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threatenings against the church, letters in his possession, giving him the authority to put in jail and in bonds and in chains them that are in that way. And as he approached the city of Damascus, suddenly there shined a light around about him, brighter than the noonday sun. And he heard a voice from heaven speaking to him, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? When he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecutest. What do you have me to do? And he told him. Now, you see, that doesn't happen very often. Do you know, did you see a light and hear a voice and you was born again? No. Do you know anybody else that did? Doesn't happen. But God can do it if he wants to. Most people get saved just like the Bible teaches. See, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Amen? But you see, things like this will happen every once in a while. I tell the story sometime. It's a true story. The only time it ever happened in my ministry in 50 years. I was preaching in February of 1952 over in Oklahoma City in the old Capitol Hill Tabernacle. Now, we weren't holding a meeting for them. We just used their building and put on our own meeting. And several churches cooperated. And so one night, just as I was giving the altar call, and some folks had come, I'd have folks to come down to the front and stand here to be saved, backsliders to come back home, church members don't know whether they're saved or not, sinners that know they're unsaved, and get them to go to the prayer room, people pray with them, and then I'd form a prayer line and lay hands on people to be healed and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, some had come to stand here to be saved. The singers were singing an invitation number, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And suddenly, swinging doors, like those doors yonder, you see, just swung open. Actually, you see, in that old tabernacle, there was five sections of seats across there, and swinging doors swung open. And a young man stepped in and just looked wild-like, you know. He hadn't been in the service. And he looked around a little bit, and they were singing. I'm standing here, you know, waiting for them to finish singing and finish the altar call. Some are standing here. And so he walked right down the aisle, and he stood there with the rest of them. Hadn't been in the service, hadn't heard one word. Just come right in then. Looked like, you know, he'd seen a ghost or something. And so as he stood there, and I'm standing on the platform, he motioned to me. And he stepped up here, and I stepped down. He said, sir, sir. He said, I was walking down the street two blocks away from here. See, it was February, and it was cloudy, overcast. And he said, suddenly, I thought the clouds had moved, parted, and a full moon was showing. A ball of fire was in the heavens. And it came right down and hung right up above my head. Said, like, scared me to death. And he said, then that ball of fire started to fall, started to move it. And said, it moved down, and I followed it. I'm going to see where it's going. And it went down this block and turned this corner, and I followed it. And he said, it came in this building. None of us saw it. Came in this building, and I came in right behind it. You know, and he looked like, you know, oh, I can't describe how he looked. Just, he looked frightened. He looked, you know, and he said, and they were singing, just as I am, without one plea. He said, I followed in this building. It disappeared when I got in here. He began to weep. He said, I need to get saved. I want to get saved. I said, you come to the right place. Glory to God. Now, if God wanted to do that, he could. He didn't have to ask me whether he could or not. He didn't have to get the church together and have them form a committee and wait on him to see if he could do such a thing. I mean, he's God. Hallelujah. Let God be God. Praise God. Now, that's the only person, though, that ever got saved in 50 years of my preaching that way. So you see, that's the exception, not the rule. So God does move in special ways even to get people saved. Same thing's true in healing. God initiates healings on his own. God moves especially, and you'll find it more so in certain areas where the gospel hasn't been preached or very little light's there, that there'll be more miracles and signs and wonders happen there, you see, to get their attention. Let them know that Jesus Christ is still alive. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Amen. Praise God. But you see, and God does move that way. The problem is that some folks think that's the only way he moves, but it isn't. Amen. You see, God honors faith. And again, we notice that Jesus said to certain individuals, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go thy way, he said to others, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. They receive not by manifestation of God's power, but by their faith. In the Acts of the Apostles, we pointed this out, and I want to reemphasize it. The 14th chapter of Acts, the Bible said concerning the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, that they preached in Lystra, and in the 7th verse it said, and there they preached the gospel. And in the 8th verse it said, there at Lystra they sat by a man that was impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked. And the 9th verse said the same, the man, the cripple man, the lame man, heard Paul speak. Who Paul steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, you see, the man wasn't healed. Some people said, well, yeah, Paul was an apostle, though. And apostles had that kind of power. Paul didn't heal the man. The man wasn't healed because Paul was an apostle. The man was healed because he had faith. The Bible plainly said, read the latter part of the 9th verse, he had faith to be healed. Now, where did he get faith to be healed? From what he heard. He said, the same heard Paul speak. What did he hear? And there they preached the gospel. So then Paul must have not only preached that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, he must have also preached that himself took our infirmities and by our sicknesses, and that men believed it. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Faith, if you'll accept God's word, you see, if you'll accept it as a fact, it'll cause faith to spring up into your heart and you'll receive. Oh yes, I've talked to people, you see, in the same healing line. And here was one person, you know, they said, well, you know, what'd you come for? I asked them. In smaller lines, you know, you can have time to deal with them individual. Larger crowds, you just don't have that kind of time. And so, I came to be healed. Are you a Christian? Well, yeah, remember right here, the same full gospel church. Baptized the Holy Ghost, speak the other tongue. I've had things like this to happen, not just once, but thousands of times. When you go through the many years, you see, I'm adding them all up together. And many, many times. Well, will you be healed now as I lay my hands on you and pray? Well, I sure hope so. Well, you won't be then, because you don't receive from God by hoping, it's by faith. Well, I'm not going to say I'm going to receive when I don't know whether I am or not. And again, thousands of times I've used the illustration. I'd get my Bible and say, you know, I had a different Bible and a different leather case. Then this one, I wore those out. But I said, now what if I was to say, you had said, well, I wished I had a Bible like that in a leather case for it. And I said, well, all right, here, I'm just going to give this one to you. It's a gift. What would you have to do to receive it? Well, just reach out and take it. Well, I said, you see, healing is a gift. And all you have to do is with the hand of faith. See, you can't reach out and take healing with the physical hand like you could the Bible. But you know that healing belongs to you. You know healing belongs to you. Because the word of God said so. Now here's a full gospel person. Like I said, didn't just have that happen once, many, many times. Here's a full gospel church person going to full gospel church all the time. And I said, healing belongs to you. And they said, does it? Yeah, I said, sure does. Well, I thought maybe, you know, that if it was God's will that to heal me, that when you laid hands on me, I'd be healed. And if it wasn't his will, I wouldn't be. I said, I can't pray for you. because you wouldn't be healed. And then you'd go off and say, it's not the will of God. Well, how am I going to find out then? See? Whether it's God's will or not. I said, find out what the Bible said. Amen. Now, many a time I've said to people, now I'm not saying it's so. See, I knew it was so, but I saw they didn't know it was so. But I'm saying, what if the Bible said that Jesus took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses? Would it be his will to heal you? Certainly, they said. Well, I just recently got my Bible, opened it to Matthew 8:17, said, would you mind reading that, please? And they read that it might be fulfilled. That's what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I've had it happen many times. They just closed the Bible up, handed to him, said, lay your hand on me, I'll be healed right now. What changed them? What put faith into them? How'd they get faith? The fact of God's word. Praise God. Well, I said to them, every single time I'd always say to them, well, wait a minute. That's one verse, but we want to be scriptural. The Bible said, the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Well, there's one. And you notice he quoted Isaiah, Matthew 8:17. Now he quoted Isaiah, said Isaiah, said himself. All right, let's go back and read the 53rd chapter. So I turned, had them to read it. And the fourth verse and the fifth verse. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses. You know, the Hebrews says sickness and disease. The King James translation said our griefs and sorrows. But the Hebrews said sickness and disease. Yet we did esteem him stricken of God, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Then I had him to read 1 Peter 2:24. Done that many a time. Said always work for everybody, everybody that accepts it.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month, we're offering Kenneth Hagin's CD entitled The Joshua Generation. We're also offering Craig Hagin's message, Put On All the Armor of God. Next is Lynette Hagin's teaching, What Should We Be Focusing On? And last is Denise Hagin Burns' message, Anchor Moments. All these items at the special price of $20. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
You know, you hear me all the time, and we say, thank you for helping us to bring hope, help, and healing to the world. Well, I'm speaking to those that have become partners with us. Well, what is a partner? It's somebody that prays for us regularly and sends an offering in at least once a month, whatever you can afford to spend to help support Rhema and all that we're doing at the college and all over the world. And that's what it is. That's simply all it is. And if you would like to become a partner with us, you can go to rhema.org/WPC, and we welcome you because of you and your help, we're making a difference in the world.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his classic teaching, The ABCs of Bible Faith. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.